Hey everybody, you're listening to Swift News. This is the weekly news show all about iOS development where I take everything I found on Twitter, newsletters, Slack channels, YouTube, you name it, I curate all that information into a weekly show for you to make sure you stay up to date. Now this is the audio version of the show that I usually do on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/SeanAllen, all about iOS development. And on that show, I'll usually have the blog post up and I'll be highlighting the text that I'm talking about. When I show videos of the AR kit examples, you can actually see them. So this podcast is for people that are on the go and can't sit in front of the computer but still want the news. However, if you do want to see all those visuals that I talk about, be sure to check out the YouTube video. All right, with that out of the way, on to Swift News. What's up, everybody? It's Monday. Time for Swift News, and it's the week between Christmas and New Year's, which means nothing's going on. Nothing's happening, but we're going to do our best here. A lot of the content in the iOS community is about, you know, 2018 reflection and 2019 goals. I won't talk about that too much here because I do have a dedicated video coming out in a few days. I have to wait till I get back to San Francisco to film that for technical reasons, but you'll be seeing that soon. Let's get to it. Speaking of wrapping up 2018, John Sindel did a pretty good article just kind of wrapping up what went on in Swift. And he kind of framed that with his articles because he writes a new article every week. So he took his most popular articles of 2018 based on, you know, page views and kind of talked about the top five a little bit. So if you haven't seen these articles, I would recommend, you know, diving deeper into them. But we're going to keep it high level here. So his most popular article of the year was Navigation in Swift, and more specifically, talking about the coordinator and navigator patterns. Now, the coordinator pattern kind of got some limelight this year. It's the first time I had heard about it, and I know of a lot of people that are starting to use it. So if you're not sure what coordinators are, check out John's, you know, most popular article, Navigation in Swift. The second most popular one was Delegation in Swift. He says, "While it seems like many Swift developers consider delegate pattern a thing of the past, I'm not in that camp." He says, you know, most have moved on to, you know, functional reactive programming or using RX Swift. I still rock the delegate pattern all the time. I like it. I haven't made that jump yet, so I guess now I'm old school, I guess. Whatever. So he talks about how to use delegation patterns in a more swiftly way using things like closures. So again, that was the second most popular article about delegation. And then we talk about unit testing, asynchronous code, the power of result types. This was before result. Well, it's not in the standard library yet. It actually just got accepted, as he says here, which you can see the link to. So there will be an official result type in the Swift standard library coming soon, Swift 5. But this was, you know, how you can actually write your own. Soon you won't have to do that. And then custom container view controllers in Swift was his final top article of 2018. And another trend for Swift in 2018 was compiler generated code. And this was kind of like, you know, Swift evolving more and maturing more, so we can get rid of a lot of boilerplate code. You know, continuing what started in Swift 4's Codable. If you remember, Codable got rid of a lot of boilerplate stuff, and he just says that it's just continuing. Here we got automatic conformances to equatable, that's a debate, and hashable, as well as conditional conformances. Basically, the trend is, you know, a lot of the old boilerplate code we used to do, Swift is maturing and evolving and kind of doing a lot of that for us. So that's always good. A testing renaissance, speak for yourself, John. Just kidding. Those that know me know that I need to work on my testing, and that is one of the top priorities for 2019 for me. And then continuing on, you know, Swift 5 is coming. So 2018 was the first year we didn't really get a major Swift update. You know, we got Swift 4.0 in 2017 and Swift 4.2 in 2018. So 2019, we'll get Swift 5. And the main thing here is ABI stability is coming. And Project Marzipan should be really, really interesting in 2019 with iOS 13. We could see some major changes in how we build our UI. So that's kind of a good wrap up. Again, I skimmed over pretty quick. A lot of links here to really go do a deep dive if you missed some of this stuff. So definitely check out this good wrap up by John. Up next, we got Antoine Vanderlee giving us some cheat sheet examples for Xcode and Swift development. Now, here we got an assert precondition or fatal error cheat sheet. As you can see here, print that out. Xcode shortcuts. Nice to slap that on your desk just to see. Obviously, this isn't all the Xcode shortcuts. But yeah, that'd be a nice little thing to put on your desk. And then the one that I need the most, because I can never remember all these, is the Git cheat sheet. So here you go. This would be a nice one to print out with all the most common Git commands. So as always, links will be in the description. To build on this, I did a, you know, Xcode keyboard shortcuts video a while back. One of my viewers, Amin Roblack, he went ahead and made a GitHub repo where he took my video and made cheat sheets out of that. Now, there's two versions. There's the long, pretty version that has all the screenshots. So if you haven't seen the video, maybe you want to watch this one. It's pretty heavy. It's 7 megabytes. But this will have all the keyboard shortcuts with screenshots, you know, to show you them. So if you're not familiar with them, this would be a good one to review. But if you want something like for your desk, just to not take up a lot of space, he did like a light version that just has, you know, the keyboard shortcuts and what it does. So thanks, Amin, for doing that. I really appreciate that. And again, link will be in the description. Next up, I wanted to share a fun story about how somebody got their app acquired. It was just a little hobby app they built on the side, fun little feature, and it ended up getting acquired. So I always love hearing stories like this because as app developers, I think sometimes we think that it's like you have to build the next Snapchat or nothing, or you have to hit the home run, the grand slam, to use a baseball reference. But oftentimes you can hit singles, keeping with the baseball reference, you know, and still do just fine. So that is a story about this. It didn't get acquired for millions. But anyway, it's a good story. So I'll sum it up real quick. It's about a app called MacBook Alarm. And I've been living this life for the past 6 weeks. Basically what he says was he's been working out of coffee shops a lot. And, you know, when you have to go to the bathroom in a coffee shop and you're working by yourself, like you leave your computer there or you pack up and take it with you and like lose your seat. It's a rough life out there in the coffee shops. But so he built this MacBook Alarm where if you close the lid or if you unplug it, you know, it'll sound this alarm. I'm not going to play this with video, but basically it makes this obnoxious loud alarm. And he talks about what he had to do to create this thing, you know, because he had to go to like, you know, lower level code that he wasn't super familiar with. Long story short, he eventually got it working. And I would check out this video. It's about a minute and a half long. It's kind of like super cheesy, but it's kind of funny. But it really shows the value of having this MacBook alarm. But basically, he got it built and eventually got it acquired. He goes through the whole story of like, you know, he made that video and the video kind of went, you know, mini viral. That's how it got attention. He did a bunch of pre-sales, you know, made a little bit of money. I think he was selling it for like $15. But again, this is kind of about hitting a single, not necessarily the home run. He said it finally got acquired. I'll scroll down to the bottom here. Oh, there's a whole story about, you know, some craziness he got into. But yeah, it finally got acquired. And he said it got him about a year's worth of living expenses in Bali. So it doesn't disclose the exact amount, but you can kind of imagine what that number might be. So again, just keep in mind, when you're building your app, it doesn't necessarily have to be a home run. Singles are fine too. Moving on, I want to share a Twitter thread from Scott. Basically, first of all, big disclaimer, this isn't Scott saying this. This is him talking about, you know, some of the stuff he's heard in the past. And it's kind of like, you're not a real developer is the theme. And as somebody who didn't write their first line of code till their early 30s, and I'm only 3.5 years into my career, like, you know, you kind of feel that imposter syndrome a lot because, you know, here it says, you're not a real developer if you don't have a computer science degree. I don't have that. You're not a real developer if you weren't hacking when you were 8 years old. I mean, I was playing Nintendo. You're not a real developer if you don't spend your spare time coding. You're not a real developer if you don't do it, if you do it for the money. And then there's like a whole long thread of it, but it's pretty good. I'm sure, you know, some of it will hit close to home. You know, you're not a real developer if you don't like Star Wars. I'm gonna have to agree with that one. Like, get out of here if not. Kidding. But anyway, a whole long list that I think, you know, some of it will definitely resonate with you. And the whole point is, don't listen to this stupid shit. Not Scott, like the people that say this to you. Yeah, it's just, that was kind of the lesson I got out of it. And then he links to some other Twitter threads that kind of, you know, have the same sentiment. And I'm talking about how geek culture can be like so alienating because everybody's so tribal and you're not a real developer. No matter what you do, you're not a real developer. Like, so I don't know. I just thought it was a pretty cool thread and listening to the responses as well. So give it a check it out. I think you'll like it. Moving on, we have another Twitter thread I came across this week and, you know, a light Swift news week. So you're getting a lot of these stories and Twitter threads. But this one was really interesting by a developer named Tim. It's kind of like a redemption story, if you will, and how kind of like development has really helped him. So, you know, he used to be a developer in the mid 2000s, a .NET developer. You know, I'm just going to really sum this up. He did say he had a drinking problem. One night he got into a really bad bar fight, you know, was arrested for assault. That bar fight ended up, you know, he had to spend 12 years in prison. So that's no joke. And then he ends up getting out of prison because he's a felon. He, you know, thinks he has to work at like fast food. Eventually he gets a job at Home Depot. So he thinks he's kind of like relegated to that life. And really he started coding on the side, realizing he still loves it. And eventually kind of gets out of that fast food to retail and gets back into software development for a job in fintech. So it's kind of a complete redemption arc. Really good story. I do want to point out, well, he points it out too, just something to keep in mind when you're reading this story, because, you know, this went kind of viral unexpectedly by him, and he was getting a lot of praise. So he does point out that he wants to clarify a few things, so I feel like I should as well. Says, what I did was bad, really bad. I deserve the time I got. And then two, says, I appreciate all the kind words more than you can know, but I'm not a hero or courageous. I'm an idiot. I should be the counterpoint, an example of what not to do. So he pointed that out, so I wanted to kind of put all of this in context. Very happy for him that he did turn it around, but like he says, he's like, this isn't the path you should take. But it is a good redemption story that I think is valuable for those that, you know, maybe in a similar situation, like, life's not over. You can still redeem yourself. Moving on to AR Corner. We haven't done this in a while. What's this like? I don't know. So AR Kit Pods, SCN Path. I thought this was pretty cool from Max Fraser Cobb. He does a lot of AR kit development, and he basically has a pod or a library that will do these paths for you, as you can see here in the video. You've seen this a lot when I featured, you know, some AR kit samples of how, you know, you can navigate around a mall, or in this case, like a grocery store, and the path will like show you where to go. So if you're doing something like that, you want to implement that into your app, not sure how, Max here has a library for you, so check that out. And then finally, we have Alejandro Cotilla doing ARKit blink detection to transcribe Morse code. So he's doing hello with his eyes. So that's pretty crazy. That's the implementation of ARKit I didn't see coming, which I think we're going to see a lot of this over the coming, you know, years, is just stuff that you would have never thought of. It's like, holy crap. So that's what I like about featuring this ARKit corner is I do, like I've said this a bunch of times, but ARKit is not ready yet, or AR yet, but we're in this experimental phase of like doing prototypes, and people are just having these ideas that nobody would have thought of, and I just think that's super valuable. That's why I share this stuff. Maybe seeing this idea will trigger an idea in your mind, and now you do something cool. So that's kind of why I want to share this stuff, but that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Swift News, the last one of 2018. We'll see you next year.